Welcome to Third Tuesday Conversation, the ELCA Youth Ministry Network's monthly podcast that focuses on ministry with those in their first third of life and their families. Our goal is to engage in conversations that help you lead in your congregations and that point you towards new thinking, ideas, and resources for your ministry. I'm Adam Butler.
I'm Elizabeth Pedersen.
And I'm Danica Olson. Hello, hello.
Party at the 3TC podcast. I don't know.
You know what, Elizabeth? I don't know why we didn't think of having you do our intro jingle before now.
You know.
I am full of fun and excitement and jingles.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, a little known fact about me is that I am a singer. I think I've said this on the podcast before. I'm a singer person, not one that you would ever imagine. I'm not a good singer, but if you know me super well, you know that I sing all the time. And
kind of like New Girl. You're kind of like Jess.
Jess.
You sing random things.
Yep.
I appreciate that about you. I also have been known to sing a jingle or two.
Would you like to have a jingle off for Third Tuesday Conversation?
I don't think so.
Not today.
I would like to hear a jingle off.
Another little known fact about me is that I'm really bad at like immediately thinking of things. So like going to trivia, I'm not super good at it. I'm very smart. I know lots of things, but I'm not so good at trivia if it's like timed, because I cannot just bring it up that fast. I need to think about it for a little bit. So I would not be good at a jingle off. Sorry.
Right. I mean, at least you know yourself.
When you say jingle off, do you mean like what's the jingle for Snickers or like just create a new jingle?
Yeah, like I want to hear your, the task is I want to hear your jingle for Third Tuesday Conversation. Go.
This is a podcast for CYF Ministry.
Ooh, that I don't think would sell. Oh. Not going to lie.
I know you. Good at it.
Oh, a ukulele. Here we go. That's all you got?
I can't hear you.
Wow, Adam.
Put that in.
So many gifts.
I will see if the recording can hear it because I couldn't. Oh my gosh.
Oh, this has gone off the rails. Okay.
Off the rails. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, hi, everyone. It's almost summer. Can you feel it in the air?
I'm wearing sandals today. No going back. Not putting shoes on ever again.
Socks ever again.
Were you swept up in the fervor of the eclipse? Were you eclipse people?
I'm not.
Last minute, yes. Leading up to it, I was like, who travels to see an eclipse? And then
you traveled to Houston?
Yeah. And then I got in my car, Dallas? And started driving. Yeah. No, I turned on I have a second screen. So I put on the news coverage of it in my office. And then I was enthralled and I couldn't stop looking at watching it. And then I texted my husband and I said, I think maybe we should have gone. He was like, no.
You had eclipse remorse, huh?
I totally did. I'm never going to see this again. I'm not going to live till 2099 when it's going to come through Minneapolis.
Yeah. On my birthday, September 14th, 2099.
I mean, there's a chance that I'll be alive for that. And I told John, my husband, I said, now my new goal is that I get stay alive until the next
eclipse. 140 years?
Oh, God. I hope I'm not alive when I'm 114.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that I'll be alive for that.
99. I don't think so.
I just asked.
It's possible.
I asked that my 82 and 79-year-old kids throw a party for grandpa and great grandpa.
Yes.
Like, what a great birthday. And I'll be looking down at like when the moon goes in front of the sun, you'll see my face.
Will be there. Yes.
I'll be there.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It's gonna be magical for those descendants of mine.
I went upstairs to see if it got any darker outside. That's all.
That was my eclipse
hype, which was step away from my desk to see if it gets darker outside. It didn't really, kind of, but not really.
It was too cloudy. I couldn't tell.
Yeah. So
I'm very jealous.
Audience.
All right. Well, the eclipse is lost on us. I hope those of you who saw it were blown away by it and had a great experience. But
for sure. So cool. Anyway, let's talk about something.
Okay.
I thought in celebration of the
total eclipse of the heart.
No.
Oh.
Celebration of summer coming. You know, I was thinking maybe what else would we talk about than the ELCA youth gathering? That's on many of our minds right now, especially since registration just closed and people are getting their final payments ready to go in and starting to have meetings, or not starting, but, you know, maybe having meetings and preparing your groups. I myself love the gathering and could just talk about it anytime. So why not right now?
Love it. Let's talk about it.
What do you want to say?
I want to say that New Orleans is the best city that the youth gathering could be hosted in.
Agree.
It's my humble opinion.
I mean, minus
some other people share that opinion, but some other people say, why do we always go to New Orleans?
Because it's the best.
It is the best. Do you know how many literal millions of dollars we save by going to New Orleans just in the cost of transportation during the event?
Yeah.
Everything's walkable. So we literally save, the ELCA Youth Gathering saves tens of millions of dollars just on getting people from point A to point B.
Amazing. Amazing. I'm personally, I know that, you know, the announcement to switch to Smoothie King Arena was just made, but I am so excited for that. I think it's going to be so cool to all be like to pack the place. I just think the energy is going to be so much fun. I'm really excited about that.
And there's never been a gathering that every seat has had a butt in it.
Oh,
ever. Gosh.
That's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be so cool.
And that's not an advertisement. Like, I'm actually saying that. I feel that way for real. Oh,
totally.
I don't have any talking points. Just to be sure.
I have not been paid to say this.
No, we're just talking.
So I'm wondering from you seasoned ELCA youth gathering types, because I, full disclosure, have only been as an adult and as kind of a secondary leader, as a intern pastor and a pastor going with somebody else who was running the whole show. So I've seen some cool things and I've got some like sort of insights, but I truly do, or like, I truly am wondering like what makes a good gathering from a leader standpoint, because I've, like I said, I've seen some great things. I've got some ideas from it, but I don't know. I think there's probably some first timers out there that could stand to hear from seasoned vets like yourselves, but I don't know, use me as a conversation partner. Cause I love the gathering, but I don't know necessarily what makes it the thing it is from a leadership standpoint.
First thing that comes to mind is how you prepare your group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the most crucial thing. I have poured a lot of energy into, using the getting ready materials. I mean, they are really helpful for preparing a group for the kinds of things that they will be hearing and being stretched on, but also just the team building part of it and the, you know, covenant part of it and just setting expectations, you know, that we're going to be walking a lot. Our schedule is going to be pretty busy. And here are the goals for our trip together. Here's what we're trying to do. Here's who we're trying to be. Like, that's a huge, huge, huge part of it for me. And even taking some time, I'm a proponent of going early and spending time on the road once you are together to do some of that work once you're away from the busyness of day-to-day life and actually in the experience together, to take intentional time to center yourself in what we're trying to do and who we're trying to be. It makes all the difference. It has made all the difference in how our groups have experienced the gathering, mm-hmm. for sure.
Definitely. And preparing your adult leaders.
Oh, yes.
To give them sort of a bird's eye view of what each day will look like and what are the expectations of them while they're there. And I might be a little biased, but I think there's some really incredible and very intentional programming being planned for the ways that our young people experience the city. And I think making sure that the adult leaders know the why, that the things that have been planned are for a reason, and you might get tired and you might be cranky or whatever, but the experience is about the teenagers and how they are able to take part in the things that have been planned for them will absolutely make or break their experience at the gathering. If they only go to the evening things, they've missed out on
so much,
a huge, huge chunk of what has been truly planned and curated just for them. I don't know that there's too many experiences in that amount of people that have intentionally, the spaces and places that have intentionally been planned just for young people.
Right. So it takes, I think, advantage. It takes effort and intentionality to actually walk into, say, the interactive learning and to actually engage with the exhibits that are there. It'd be super easy. And, you know, I am this person. I can be this person in my life where I just will, like, stand on the outskirts of a thing and not necessarily fully give in to whatever the thing is. So it takes intentionality and effort to really be curious and try to get as much as you can out of each of the things. Because it would, to skim over it is simple, but to actually take the time and be willing to put the effort into discovering what's there for you is the harder path, but you get so much more out of it. I mean, what's the point of spending all this money to go to this thing if, you know, you're not going to get the maximum impact out of all of the planning that has gone into this event, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I think being prepared for what each day will hold and setting expectations around the unknowns, that there will for sure be unknowns. I'm thinking specifically of accompaniment day and the teenagers who are experiencing the gathering will absolutely follow the lead of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the leaders talk about it as, well, that's so disappointing or so annoying that we have to go to this place when we had hoped that we would be doing XYZ, right? And you name it, everybody has an opinion about what they hope that they're doing. It's either they hope they're getting their hands dirty, or they hope they're not sweating, or they hope, I mean, everybody has some sort of preconceived notion about what they do and do not want to do. And that absolutely sets the tone for teenagers. If adults are going to gripe about something, then so are the teenagers. But if I always tell my adult leaders, it doesn't matter what it is the most favorite thing you have ever done in your life. Like, every activity is your favorite activity. And I don't mean that from a toxic positivity standpoint. I mean that from a morale standpoint, that all it takes is one to muddy the water and it changes the entirety of the gathering experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have been to one in New Orleans, and I remember that from when I was there, just that when you talk about unpredictability, like, you know, we're there still working in sites where they're affected by the hurricane, right? And then that, like, it rained so hard. That one of the days that we were there, and there's like flooding everywhere, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And, you know, it took, like, it completely derailed so many different things, and transportation was hard, and that was a moment where you could really have settled into complaining, right? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, every other day that we were there is so stupid hot and like sweaty and muggy, right? And I think that's, again, it's just a reminder, like, location specific in New Orleans, like, you're going to have some of those things. But I think specifically for, like, how I experienced that while I was there, that, like, you really can get caught up in you could get caught up in the complaining part of it. And like you said, the most important thing is to embrace what you've got and, like, lead with attitude and lead with embracing the place that you are. Right. Mm-hmm. It just made me think of that experience, and just like, you got all of it, right? And I think there's a really good chance you're going to get all of it again this time around. And
Well, and a great opportunity
of how the days go.
A great opportunity to have a conversation with young people to say, like, this is what it's like to live in this place.
Yeah.
Like, everything comes to a screeching halt, and to open it as a opportunity for discussion rather than for, oh, poor us, we didn't get to do the thing we wanted to do, or that, you know.
Yeah.
Right. And depending on what you choose to focus on will be what you remember afterward. Like, I remember that flash flood in downtown New Orleans. I mean, I'm sure it was hot. That's not what is sticking in my memory, right? It is what it feels like to walk down the street with thousands of people, and that energy that you feel walking into the stadium, and what the colors look like of all the t-shirts that are out there, like, and how you feel in your heart to, like, sing these songs in this giant mass of people. I mean, all of that is what gets remembered. And you have to choose that too, right? I mean, if that's what you want to take away, then it might change what you focus on during the event too, you know?
I always talk to kids about, as we're waiting to get into the stadium or whatever, like, when was the last time you waited to get into worship? And that there was a line to get into worship. I just like to turn the conversation for kids to say, like, you wait in lines for sporting events and for concerts and all sorts of things, but how cool is it to be waiting in line to worship? So I think there'll be, I mean, I love the gathering. It's no one thinks differently. That's what I'm trying to say. And I mean, partly because it's a part of my call story, right? Like, the gathering gave me perspective that I didn't have at home. And so as we plan the gathering, thinking about what are the experiences we can give kids that they cannot, just by sheer number of people and whatever, that they're not experiencing at home.
Yeah, I think that ends up being one of the most important things that we do on any trip we take with young people, whether it's a mission-based trip or experience-based trip or to Bible camp or something like that, that as much as we as adults are there to chaperone and to make sure kids are safe and we get them from place to place, we're also there to help process what the experience is and provide space for that. And that, as you were talking about some of these different experiences, it made me think of not only the accompaniment day, where, like, you're going to go and do something and need to process, like, what it is that you experienced and what that outdoor, indoor, whatever work was, not just from the standpoint of, like, was that difficult or was that easy, but, like, what was the thing that impacted you and how is this different or the same as your life back home? But also, I'm thinking about as we're talking about the big gathering in the stadium, I think that is, for a lot of our young people, going to be the first time they hear speakers like that presenting ideas that maybe they've not heard before or that challenge their worldview or make them think differently about faith. And we have another huge responsibility there to not just let that experience be like, oh, wow, wasn't that cool? Because it is going to be cool, right? It's going to be a big, cool experience that's just going to kind of blow people's minds. But also there's going to be, like, real deep things that they're going to walk away going, do I believe that? Do I have to believe that? Is that the way I see the world? And we get the opportunity as leaders to help them process that. What kind of insight do the two of you have into, like, how to lead those kinds of conversations that might help those who are listening just talk to kids about this and use the time that we have to process what it is that we're all experiencing together?
Well, I would say this is part of the reason why I find it so important to do some of that pre-work with the groups to start building that trust, because some of those big, deep conversations can't happen if trust isn't built. And so taking the time and space to create that sort of environment where our teenagers can process and actually share what they're thinking and feeling is the only way that they'll feel comfortable doing that, is if it's in a space where they feel they could do so. So that's the setup to it. And also, again, not getting paid for this, but taking the time to do the final 15 at the end of every day, or even just taking small group time at the end of every night just to check in is crucial as well, because you can't just do this at the end of the event when it's like basically drinking from a fire hose and say, so what stood out to you? How did you feel? Mm-hmm. What did you think? This is totally has to happen as you go along. And so taking intentional time every day, even maybe more than once a day, just to have some conversation around, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? I don't think it has to be anything rocket science-y. It's just that space to, did you see what I did there? Space. have the opportunity. So what do you think, Danica?
I think a lot of times adults are having their own thoughts and feelings about the things that they hear because it's a new thought or idea, or it's busting open their own faith life. And I think it's so important to remember that it's not our work to work that stuff out with teenagers.
100%.
Like, this has to be centered around their developmental stage in life and the way that they're experiencing the world. And it cannot be compromised by the ways that our own faith might be pushed or pulled or twisted, or, you know. And that's not to say that, like, oh, you're going to hear all these crazy things. I think that adults who go to the gathering believe and think that the messages are for the teenagers, and the majority of them are. But I think many adults are surprised by the ways that the messages shape and stretch them too.
Yes. Yes.
And so to say out loud, like, you have to do that work, but not with those teenagers. So I always have adult leader meetings every single day.
Yep.
Because we're checking in with each other, and that's the space that we get to work out some of the things that are pushing us, or to be able to offload, you know, whatever you're digesting in a space with other adults and not in a space where kids are trying to help you figure out your stuff.
Totally. Yeah, which is another thing, which is another part of preparing your adult leaders to say, like, you're going to hear stuff that stretches you, and it's okay, and it's great. And so we're going to have space for us adults to do some of that. But here is your role while you are working with this group of teenagers. And here's what you need to be for them, you know, because it's not always a given, right? That if you don't expect going in that this stuff is going to happen, it can bring up some stuff for all of us, right? And so the more we can prepare each other, the better.
Well, and just not to assume that all of your adult leaders know that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and even primary leaders, like, it's been a minute since we've had a gathering, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's super insightful. I think that's, those are both really good points. The preparing ahead of time, but also just like knowing what's your place as an adult leader to be processing your own stuff and what you can and can't do in front of young people, being that this is their experience too, mostly, primarily their experience, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
New Orleans specific, there's some real damn good food and music and culture and experiences to take in. There's a place called Bourbon Street. I'm wondering what, I don't think we need like a mapped out plan of all the things that we want to eat and experience and stuff like that. But it kind of makes me wonder about, like, what are we trying to show and what are we trying to not show? Is that like the, like, I don't want to paint it as like, what are we protecting from and what are we, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, there's some really cool cultural things to experience in New Orleans that I'm grateful that I got to with the group that I did when I went last. But, you know, and again, some of that's just finding your own way through like food and culture experiences. But I don't know when it comes to like Bourbon Street what are you guys prioritizing as like experiences that young people need to have, or at least, I don't know. It sounds so bad to say, like, be exposed to, but I don't know. It's a brand new city for a lot of kids. What do they need to see? What do they need to do?
The way I've handled Bourbon Street is walk down it at 2 in the afternoon. By the light of the day, It's just a disgusting street. They're going to see some things that, you know, is going to be like, oh my gosh. But it also, again, back to this conversation, being the conversation leader, that like it will lend itself to some interesting conversations about particular industries and how we participate or do not participate in people needing to exploit their bodies for income. They're going to be curious about it and they're going to want to go down there. So I just have always thought I want to be a part of leading that conversation, and then they can say they've done it and they, you know, whatever. But it's like a real non thing for me. Like, oh, we're just going to walk this way. I'm not going to be like, hey, we're going to go walk down Bourbon Street. No. I just do it on the way to something else and kind of make it a non-issue.
Totally.
I think the Synod Day planning team is working really hard on creating ways for young people to experience the city and to actually experience the city and not just like smell the smells and see the sights, but like learn something and be surprised by something to immerse themselves in this like really rich and unique culture of this city that like is sort of this swirling gumbo of cultures. I mean, there's just so much available in the city of New Orleans. This is not a paid advertisement, but I would highly recommend that if you have the time and the resources to take your kids to View Orleans.
So cool.
It is hands down one of the best ways to learn about the richness of the city. It's a museum on the river. And at the end of it, you can get this bird's eye view of why they call it the Crescent City, and to be able to see like what does the French, how big actually is the French Quarter, and what are the different areas of architecture and cuisine and all those kinds of things. It's just, it's unmatched. It's one of my favorite things in New Orleans, mm-hmm. which is saying something because I love New Orleans.
I really feel like you really just need to, not just, you need to walk around the city with your eyes open and your heart open and experience it. And thankfully, this gathering allows for some time and space to do that as a part of gathering programming. So it'll be built in to have that time and space. But it's such a beautiful, rich city. And you get to experience so much just even by walking around it. You don't have to necessarily go to any specific place or eat any specific food besides maybe beignets. And you'll get to take home some of what makes New Orleans so great, you know.
Speaking of beignets, if you want to go to Cafe du Monde, you only can pay with cash there. So
it's like
we've talked about cashless payment in so many other venues, but Cafe du Monde only takes cash. I have gone to New Orleans so many times, and it wasn't until a recent trip that I experienced Cafe Beignet. And those beignets,
they are so good and they're so big.
So good. Maybe just take it on as a research project. Which beignets are the best? There are tons of places that serve beignets. So be taste testers. I think that's a research project I could get behind.
Definitely.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Oh, I'm getting so excited now.
I know.
How about to wrap up? We do one secret tidbit about leading a youth gathering trip that like wouldn't have come up in these big picture, what makes a great one.
Just one?
Yeah, just one.
Okay.
One that you're not being paid to advertise.
We're not. Yeah.
Well, I have two. Sorry.
I said one.
I'm doing two.
All right.
I'll be honest, I stole this idea from Danica years ago, but and Danica actually probably inherited this from somebody else, but Danica inspired me to create a trip booklet for every kid on the trip that includes a daily schedule and like what to expect, what to wear, like what are the rules, here's all the contact information, like it's a legit booklet. And I have found that really helpful to keep everybody on the same page about what is happening and when, especially because we're in hotel rooms and that just makes it a little harder, right, to keep track of everybody. So trip booklets. That is number one. Number two, I don't know if this is a thing that everybody knows. So a tidbit is people love to do giveaways at the gathering. we've done buttons in the past or bracelets or stickers or it's kind of like we started this podcast talking about the solar eclipse. And, you know, all the people who were out there watching the eclipse felt this sort of sense of camaraderie that is so much fun and brings everybody together. It's like that times a thousand at the gathering that like everybody is so excited to be together and to meet everybody. And one of the little like, you know, Taylor Swift friendship bracelet things about the gathering is a little giveaway, not required, just something you'll find.
I'll be curious to find if it's actually as prominent as it has been with no like collective memory of the gathering, because none of the participants will have been to one. And so that would be something probably only perpetuated by adult leaders.
We'll see.
So, I'm trying to say this in a succinct way, but so many youth directors move through the gathering historically as the pack mule. And I will say that this is a great opportunity to have your kids take responsibility. You do not need to carry 6 Powerades, 4 bananas, a bottle of ibuprofen. You do not need to carry all the things. First of all, you have a clear bag and it won't be as gigantic as your Duluth pack. I mean, people walk around the gathering in years past with these backpacks that are bigger than they are. They can take responsibility. They are emerging adults. You can bring 4 ibuprofen, 2 Tylenol. I mean, there's just so little that you actually have to have, especially in New Orleans, because in several other cities, you leave the hotel in the morning and you don't come back till late at night. But that is not the case in New Orleans. So you have the opportunity to pack in your backpack only what you would need for a couple hour stretch. And if we're being really honest, it's not very much. So you do not need to be the pack mule for your group. And it's a great opportunity to, it sounds so terrible, but for natural consequences. Like, well, if you didn't bring a water bottle, despite being told 60,000 times, then we can be on a search for a water fountain, but there you go. That's why I'm saying this is kind of twofold. So the pack meal thing, but each of my adult leaders gets a snack sized. So I want you to like know the size, a Ziploc baggie, but it's just the snack size. And it has like 4 or 5 Band-Aids, an alcohol wipe or 2, a tampon, an allergy pill, some really super basic stuff. And that weighs like 4 ounces and you're not taking your entire first aid kit with you wherever you go. So all of that is to say, helping young people take responsibility for their own needs is a great learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Except for don't let them wear flip-flops.
Well, yeah. But that's a learning opportunity.
No, it isn't. I don't care. I am not allowing that learning opportunity. No flip-flops. Go back to your room.
Yeah. Agree. So anyway, I'm so pumped. Our friend Kim Adams talks about, you know, people who are like, oh, the gathering, are our kids going to be quote unquote safe and whatever. She talks about like the definition of safety, depending on who you are, but also that the gathering is the biggest threat to itself. That like any of the things that have gone wrong historically have been between participants or things like flip-flops or dehydration or constipation or things like that. Yes. That the safety piece is really about how we are caring for our own bodies. And man, I'm so pumped. These kids haven't had many of these kids have not had an opportunity to experience something at this scale because of COVID. And so I'm really pumped to sort of have the resurgence, the resurrection of this event. It's getting so close.
Yes.
Woohoo.
Yay. All right. Before we go.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about this all day. We better stop.
We sure could. Before we go, here are a few quick announcements and reminders. The next Oasis webinar is coming up in just a couple of days. You are able to register by visiting elcayumnet.org/oasis. It will take place April 18th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. The cost for non-members And for basic level members is $25. For everyone else, if you are a member of the network, it's free. We encourage you to visit connectjournal.org. There's some new articles posted there. And we'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of you who are members of the network. Your membership makes things like this podcast, mobile app, Connect Journal, Faith Formation, Co-op, Extravaganza, and much, much more possible. If you're not a member of the network, we encourage you to join. If you are, double check to make sure your membership is up to date. You can do so by logging on to the website and clicking on your name at the top to see your account status. Thanks so much for listening. New podcasts are released the third Tuesday of every month. Be sure to subscribe so you receive them as they come out and share it with your friends. And finally, thanks to Paul Amlin, the 3TC producer, for his work. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.